Before we move on to the new sugya of ribbis, which is very much connected to what we talked about the last 2 weeks, as this evening we will be discussing the differences between ribbis with a Jew and ribbis with a non-Jew, I just want to add two things to the last sugya that we talked about chal companies, that someone sent me, Mar Mekemis, Rabbi Ginnak from the OU, where there he writes two interesting things. First of all, he writes that Rabbi Greenblatt told him if Rav Moshe couldn't find Chalav Yisrael milk, he drank Chalav companies, which doesn't surprise me. Rav Moshe writes very clearly in the Tshuva, if you can't get, then you're allowed to use it. He also quotes that Rav Aaron Cutler in the early years in Lakewood, when it was too hard to find Chalav Yisrael, they didn't have Chalav Yisrael, which also doesn't surprise me. What he did write that surprised me was he writes that that his Rebbe, Rabbi Soloveitchik, held of the Pre-Chadosh. Which means Rabbi Soloveitchik held, you can justify Chalav companies today without Rav Moshe and without the Chazanish, with the Pre-Chadosh. We mentioned the Pre-Chadosh at length. The Pre-Chadosh argues with the Chassam Sofer. The Pre-Chadosh lived significantly before the Chassam Sofer. But the Pre-Chadosh held that if there's no motivation, either because pig's milk is more expensive or because there's not so many pigs on the farm or hard to get pig's milk, then you could be maker. So he writes over there, that was what Rabbi Soloveitchik held, which was, to me, an interesting idea. Many of the Achreinim, later Achreinim, rejected the Pre-Chadosh, but I think it seems like Rabbi Soloveitchik held of the Pre-Chadosh. I also wanted to mention, there's a story in the Rav Gusman biography. I often quote that book, it's one of my favorite books. Rav Gusman's life was fascinating. The story goes that Rav Gusman and Rav Moshe would spend the summers together in the bungalow colonies, and when the mirrors first came after the Holocaust, Reb Leib Malin was one of the great mirrors. He was ended up being the Rosh Hashiva based at Talmud, and Rabbi Rucham Lavovitz, also one of the great mirrors. So there was a discussion then about what to do with the Chalav companies. So they called up Rav Moshe because they knew Rav Moshe had a heter, and Reb Leib Malin, who was very tough, not in a bad way, but he held his own, and he was yelling. He didn't agree with Rav Moshe whatsoever. He thought Rav Moshe's svar wasn't right. So Rav Moshe said to him, "Have you heard of a fellow Reb Gusman?" He said, "Sure, I don't remember Reb Gusman from back in Europe." He says, "Can I put him on the phone? He holds like me." So Reb Gusman went on the phone, and Reb Gusman explained to him his opinion. Reb Gusman said, "Yeah, I think Reb Moshe makes a lot of sense. His mir says this, that, and the other." So Reb Leib Malin accepted. Reb Yerucham Lavovitz would not accept it. So Reb Gusman, out of godless, used to go every single day and watch the milking so Reb Yerucham could have Chalav Yisrael. Because he couldn't convince Reb Yerucham that he's right, but he would, out of godless of Reb Gusman, he'd be the Shomer, he'd be the Mirsus, he'd go watch the milking. Okay, that's all relevant to what we talked about last time, the sugya of Chalav Yisrael. It's interesting, when you talk about ribbis and you ask your average yeshiva bacha, where would you find Hilchas ribbis? So everyone would assume it's in Chayish Mishpat. It's absolutely not in Chayish Mishpat, it's in Yerideya. Why exactly is it in Yerideya, and where is it the point in Yerideya? Because that's really where we draw a distinction between Jews and non-Jews. As we'll discuss this evening, everyone knows, anyone who's in the business world, knows that you're not allowed to lend ribbis to a Jew without a heter iska, but to a guy, no problem. Maybe that's what we're going to get to this evening. But that's perhaps one of the most glaring differences between Jews and non-Jews is ribbis. So that's why it's in Yerideya, because it's one of those things that differentiate. Just like we can't eat things of the goyim. So this is another difference between Jews and goyim with regard to ribbis. So this evening, at least, we'll call this intro to ribbis. We'll discuss, when perhaps you're allowed to lend with ribbis, and then believe neither next week we'll discuss some of the more common shilas. Again, I don't plan on getting into corporations and businesses and heteriskas. Maybe we will, who knows? Next week I want to discuss more of the common shilas that often come up amongst family members and amongst friends and borrowing and lending. But this week we'll discuss a little bit for goyim. This is very, very negay in the business world, because when you do business and you buy and you borrow, you need to know who's a Jew and who's a not Jew. Now, the truth is, maybe we should, but I don't plan on it. We should also have to discuss what's the status of a mummer. Because very nice, there's goyim and then there's Jews. Then there's always that in between, the non-religious Jew. Very complicated sugya of mummer. It comes up all the time. We discussed it so many places already. So here it comes up as well. I don't think we'll get into it, but at least we'll discuss the goy and the Jew for ribbis. The Torah discusses the mitzvah of ribbis in a couple of places. I highlighted two of them. One in Parshas Kisetze and one in Parshas Bahar. Why did I highlight these two? Because it says in the Torah in Parshas Kisetze, number one, Lo yisashich lo achicha. That's the idea of ribbis. Rashi and Chumash explains that the reason why we call ribbis sashich, because it comes from the lashon of biting. The way ribbis works is that it's like a snake bite, Rashi says. It makes a little bite, and you don't think too much about it, until, lo and behold, your entire leg or your foot is totally blown up and puffed up. Your whole body's affected. And anyone who's ever taken out a loan, whether it be for school, for a mortgage, the interest eats you up alive. And we'll see this day for Chenech has such a terminology. The interest alone kills you. That's the idea of ribbis. That ribbis, really, the interest is really what gets you. So the Torah prohibits taking ribbis. Neshech kesef, neshech eicha, whether it be money or produce. People think ribbis is only with money. It's not true. If I borrow an object and I ask you to pay me back two of those objects, that would also be a violation of ribbis. Neshech kol dover hasheishach, anything that bites. Ah. So if you looked at the first part, it says, loy sashich le'ochicha. That means your brother, your fellow Jew, there's a prohibition of taking ribbis. So the follow-up question is, what about my non-Jew, my non-brother, Zakta Torah? La'nochri sashich. To the non-Jew, there's really two ways to read the pasuk. Either the Torah says, go out of your way and lend him with ribbis. La'nochri sashich, you should go out of your way. Find a guy and lend him in ribbis, or it's permissibility. You may lend a guy ribbis. You don't have to. If you're not in the lending business, you don't have to go out of your way to lend to be yaitz the mitzvah. People are makbe, right? They divorce their wife so they can be kind of the mitzvah gerushin. That's ridiculous, right? That's not what you're supposed to do. It means if you decide to divorce your wife, this is the avenue to do so. So here also, we'll see this actually machlokes rishonim about this, that maybe there's a mitzvah saseh that every Jew has to go out, find a non-Jew, lend him money, and overcharge and charge him interest just to fulfill this pasuk. Zok the Torah ulachicha lo yisashch, and the Torah repeats itself again, but to your brother you may not. Why? The man yivrach Hashem lekecha, in order Hashem should bless you, b'chol mishlach yodech alor. It's all what you accomplish on this world. Okay, so this pasuk is very, very clear that there's a distinction between non-Jew and Jew. Jew, violation of ribbis. Non-Jew, definitely no violation, perhaps even a mitzvah, but definitely, definitely no question, there is no violation if you lend or borrow ribbis with a non-Jew.
What do we learn from the second pasuk saying,
right, we're going to see that in the Gemara. The Gemara in Bar Mitzia is going to discuss this. That the main perek, if you want to learn Hilchos Ribbis, you learn Ezu Neshech. The fifth perek of Bar Mitzia is all the rules and regulations. So we're going to refer back to that quite often. There's another pasuk of Parshas Bahar, and here the Torah gives you a little bit more of a detailed background to the story. Says the Torah, what's going on over here? Ki v'chiyomu chachicha, if your brother becomes poor, umot yodi imach, v'chzach deba, you should help him out, strengthen him up. Ger v'toshev, a ger toshev. Ger v'toshev means a ger who's a ger, meaning there's a ger tzedek and a ger toshev. A ger tzedek is a regular guy who becomes a ger. That's a ger. He's a complete full-blown Jew. There's a ger toshev, which we've spoken about in the past. That's a Jew that's a guy who accepts Sheva Mitzvah Spenei Nech. That's a ger toshev. V'chai imach. And you should let him live. Help him live. Al tikachem ite. Don't take from them neshech v'sarbis. V'yareisim elkech in shafir God. V'chai achich imach. And let your brother live with you. So there seems to be a connection between fearing God and not taking ribbis and allowing your brother to live. So Rashi and Chumash quotes a Gemara that whenever you deal with money and taivas hamam, and you need to have a lot of yiras Hashem. Because it's very easy to justify and to permit taking ribbis, even so more today. Why can one easily justify ribbis? And say to yourself, I am doing my fellow Jew the greatest favor. I'm gonna give him 3% interest. The bank is gonna be 7%. I am Amish Tzadik. They should honor me at the next dinner. I'm Mamish Tzadik. Look what I'm doing. I'm saving him 3% interest. That's a gevaldik chesed. Says the Torah, it's not a chesed. It's still prohibited. And we'll have to obviously get to the nitty gritty. Why should it be that way? This seems like such a beautiful thing to do. You're helping the guy out. There are people that would love to get a loan with ribbis. They need the money now. They can't. The bank won't give it to them. They would die to get the money. You're doing them the biggest favor. It's still awesome. It's still an issur derais. Now again, just very bekitzer, the typical case of what's called ribbis derais is called ribbis kitzutza. That means from the get-go, we make up. The simple case, you go to a loan shark, you say, I need money. He says, great, here's $100, pay me back next week, $150. That's ribbis katsutza. From the get-go, we set up that you're going to pay me more than given. That's ribbis derais. It's called ribbis katsutza. Everything else besides that, again, very vaguely speaking, would probably fall under the category of ribbis derabonin. But we keep derabonin nonetheless. But the highest level of ribbis, that's ribbis derais. There's a Gemara in Bar Mitzia number 3. The Gemara Bar Mitzia quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Lovin mehen umalvin oisei beribis." It's referring to a guy. When it comes to a guy, you can borrow and you can lend. What's tricky about the mitzvah of ribis? It's a two-way prohibition. Very rarely in a transaction are both people in violation. Usually, one guy's innocent and one guy's guilty. Here, both the malva and the loiva are always going to be over when you're talking about ribis. Not only the malva and the loiva are going to be over, the witnesses and the cipher and all the parties that are involved in the loan will be held accountable for this violation. That's what's unique about ribis. Normally, you'd assume to yourself that who's the guilty party? The malva is the guilty party. What did the loiva do? Loiva is Mr. Innocent. The answer is not so simple. Loiva is also guilty. Depends on what type of ribbis that rice, ribbis that bono, we'll get to that next week. But that's interesting is that ribbis is more parties are held accountable. Says the Mishnah, but loivin mehen umalvin oisim ribbis. When it comes to a guy, you can borrow and lend with them ribbis, no problem. This is really what we saw in the Pesukim. V'chem ger toishav, malvi Yisrael, moisav shalak. Okay, that's the end of the Mishnah. In the middle of that Gemara, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Navi. It says, mar behoinoi, b'neshech v'sarbis, if a person increases his wealth through neshech v'sarbis, l'choynim dalim yikpetzenu. It's not going to end well. So Gemara says, what does that mean? My l'choynim dalim, om rav kigoyin shvur malka. So first part of the Gemara is, whatever money you think you made on interest, it's going to end up going to the government. Shvur Malka was a Persian king. He took all the money and he gave it to his people. So it's going to go to the Dalim, which are the Goyim. You're not even going to get benefit from the money. Fine. Rav Nachman Amar Le Rav Huna Le Nitzvecha Ela Da'afilu Ribbis Da'akum. The Pshat of the Pasuk is that even if you're going to lend ribbis and do ribbis with a guy, which under the letter of the law is permitted by the Torah, you're not going to see any success from that money. That's how Rav Nachman learns the Pshat in this Pasuk in Mishlei. Which is very troubling. That's against the Torah. Frank the Gemara, what do you mean? It says in the Torah, to the guy, you should charge ribbis. So Gemara says, my sashach, lav sashach, doesn't it mean you're supposed to go out of your way and charge him interest? It means the Torah is permitting you, or perhaps obligating you, requiring you, to overcharge the guy in order to make back a profit. The Gemara says, loy, sashach. The Gemara says, no, doesn't mean you should go out of your way. So again, the Gemara says, Loisagi, the Lavachi, Lafuke, Echicha, the Loyachicha, Behejiksev. The Gemara means, no, it just means Lafuke, your brother. The Loyachicha, Behejiksev, Be. What do you mean? That means the Torah didn't mean to say, go out of your way and lend ribbis to a guy. It meant, don't lend ribbis to a Jew. So, in fact, the Gemara, it says that already. Ulachicha, Loisashich. It says already. So, the Gemara, La'avra, Olav, Ba'asei, Veloisase. It's come to tell me that you're over two punishments. You're over an Asei and a Loisase. Every single time you lend ribbis with a Jew, you're in a violation of a Lav and a Bitalase. Eisvei. Frankly, more fine. So there's no cash on the psukim, but it's a cash on the Mishnah. It says Mishnah, "Love mehenu malvin osa beribis v'chem begar toishav." Says you're allowed to. Omer Reb Chiya Brei Devuno lenitzrucha ella b'chtei chayov. So I think more an unbelievable idea. Avada the Torah says it's permitted to lend ribbis and borrow ribbis from a guy only k'dei chayov, only enough to live. You can't become wealthy on lending ribbis with a guy. Lending ribbis to a Jew is prohibited. Lending ribbis to a guy you can do only k'dei chayav. If that's your only way to live, which throughout the history was a very popular profession for Jews, right? Ayin, Shakespeare, Shylock, right? We know that that was always a way for Jews to make money because they were often excluded from other industries, so this was the only industry we were allowed in. So Zog Gemara, even a non-Jew ribbis is only if it's k'dei chayav. Meaning, let's say, for example, you have another job. You have a 9-to-5 job, you're an accountant. And on the side, you do things to make extra money. And one of those things you do is you lend that money to non-Jews beribis. According to the first answer of the Gemara, that's also. That's what it means in the Pasuk, that you shouldn't do it. That's the first answer of the Gemara. Ravina Omar, Ravina gives a second answer. Hocha b'talmidei chachom maskina. No. You know when the Mishnah says you're allowed to lend ribbis to a guy? That's only rabbis. Torah scholars. Torah scholars, they're allowed to lend ribbis to non-Jews. But everyone else, they can't. So the Gemara says, time am I. Why would it be that way? Says the Gemara, Gozer Rabbonin, it's Exeret Rabbonin. Shema Yilmod Mimaisuf. We're worried you may learn bad habits from the guy. But since they're Torah scholars, Lo Yilmod Mimaisuf. We're not afraid you're going to learn from their behavior. So the Gemara has this idea that there's an Issa de Rabbonin to lend ribbons to a guy because you may learn from them. Now, why are we worried you may learn from them? So why are you worried? So we'll see, it's more in this bar in the Rishonim and the early Acharonim, is because it used to be, clearly in times of the Gemara, in the business world, the Goyim and the Jews never mingled. Never. Business, we stayed separate. Completely separate. All the business was in our own community. So when would be the only time a Jew would be exposed to a guy is ribbis. Because they can only do it with a guy. So therefore, Zakti Gemara, if you're going to allow ribbis with a guy, although the Torah prohibited it, you're asking for trouble, because you're then exposing the Jews to the non-Jew. And you're going to do business with them, you're going to enter, you're going to learn bad things from them, you're going to pick up bad habits from them. That's how the Gemara writes. Now, if you just turn to the last page for a second, I made a late addition, a Ritva Meseches Megillah. Where did I put it? The Ritva Meseches Megillah is actually, I'm sorry, it's on page 2. The Ritva Meseches Megillah is referring to a Gemara Megillah, which we've quoted in the past. But the Gemara tells us about certain Amoraim who said, Tasili, I deserve credit because I did special things. So one of the things that Amoraim said was, give me credit. I never went into partnership with the guy. It's on page 2, number 3B, all the way on the right corner on page 2. So this was a Gemara we spoke about actually last year, December time. When the Gemara over there, there's a whole discussion about going into partnerships with the guy. The Gemara, the Rishonim have this idea, you can't go into partnership with a guy because what's going to happen? You're going to force the guy to swear. Because you're going to have a dispute one day and you're going to say, you're stealing from me. And the guy's going to say, no, I'm not stealing. Well, you say, prove it to me, swear. Now, what type of swearing is he going to make? He's going to make a shvuah of avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, that's the problem. So the Ritva Zakash, he says, v'chitema, my rabuse. Why is this Amayra giving himself credit that he never had a partnership with a guy? You're not allowed to have a partner. You're not allowed to ever have partnerships with a goyim. Every Jew can only be partnered with another Jew. Why? It says in the Torah, "Le'yishama alpicha." You're not allowed to cause a goy to swear. K'diisa b'sechas anedrin. Also, lo adam lasi shutzes ma'goy. You're not allowed to have a partnership with a goy. Shem yischayv lo shvu v'atayram alo yishma alpicha. So, frekti b'dvo. Why is the Gemara make it sound like it's extra credit? You did something special. You followed the Torah. Right? If we all got credit for following the Torah, that doesn't make sense. So, the b'dvo writes big chiddush v'hanochan. Tahi lav isurei mamish doyreis oid rabbanan el midas chasidus ba'alma. Zog the Ritva, when that Gemara says that it's aser to have a partnership with a guy, it doesn't mean aser. It means it's not correct. It's not the right thing to do. Then he brings a bunch of other Gemaras who ke'en sha'amru asal adam she'el v'moise b'lo'edim. There's another Gemara b'metzi. It says you're not allowed to lend your friend money without edim. It's always like this in yeshiva. Right? You want to buy a drink and you ask your friend to buy you a dollar. Do you always have edim standing around? No. Because either Gemara says Aser, Zakhtu Ritva, it's Midas Chasidus. For Aser, Lahalva says Agoy Beribis. Zakhtu Ritva, this Gemara also. The Ritva Megillah learned that this Gemara, that although it sounds like it would be an Issa de Rabbanan to lend a Goy Beribis, it's really just a Midas Chasidus. It's not really Aser. Although the Gemara sounds like it's Aser, it's not really Aser. So that changes the whole sugya. That means, according to the Ritva Megillah, when our Gemara presents a Bamatzia with a seemingly real rabbinic violation of lending a Goy Beribis, it's not true. Okay. So we have two pshatim in the Gemara. Either lending a guy beribis is aser unless it's your livelihood, meaning you're a loan shark by job, and if you don't lend a guy beribis, you're going to have no business because you can't lend the Jew, and you can't lend the guy, so how are you going to make panasa? You can't just go back to college and start all over again. This is your life, so you're stuck. Or the second type of the Gemara is if you're a rabbi, you're a talmud chacham, you're a knowledgeable person, you know right from wrong, you will not be impacted, you will not be affected by the guy. So if we were to stop right here, so this idea that people know, oh, if I lend and borrow from a guy, it's mutter, is against the Gemara. The Gemara says you're still in a violation of a derabon. Yes, you're not over loisashich of the Torah, but you're still over the derabon.
Did you give the money to a
talmud
chacham to loan on your behalf?
Interesting. I'm not sure. That's a good shaila. We're going to blend that, and maybe next we talk about middlemen with ribbis, mortgage brokers, right? That's a shaila. What if a mortgage broker is going to be setting up a deal between a loiv and a malva, one of the two parties are Jewish, and there's no heter iska, how does that work out? That seems to be a problem. There's Ramah like that in Shulchan Aruch.
But
Pashas, you don't need a heter iska with a guy, right? We're going to see today that you don't need a heter iska for a guy. The question is, why not? It seems like for the Gemara you do. It seems like it's us. So there's a Gevaldika Kliyoker in Pashas Bahar. Gevaldika Kliyoker. Kliyoker is coming to explain why is it that you're allowed to take ribbons from a Jew, you're not allowed to take ribbons from a Jew, but you're allowed to take ribbons from a guy. So if you ask anyone on the street, they'd say the reason is very simple, because we don't care that much about guyim. We care about Jews, we don't care about guyim. The Kliyoker is a totally different shot. It's unbelievable. It's kavalik. Says the Kliyoker number 4 in Pashas Bahar. He says, Mashenem ar altikachem itoy. It says in the Torah, don't take ribbons from a guy, from a Jew, who's what? Ki yomuch achicha. He's poor. He's in trouble. Right? We always paint the picture of the loiva being the Nebuch case, and the malva being this rich guy, and the malva has a chance to take the loiva to the cleaners. On that, the Torah says don't do so. So the kliyoker, and later we'll talk about this later. What happens if the case is reversed? The loiva is worth so much more than the malva, but the malva happens to have cash available. Right? The malva could be broke, but he punked has $200, and the loiva needs $200 to make a huge investment, and the loiva is worth a million times more. That's right.
He also needs the money.
That's right. We're going to talk about that also. It's going to get a little complicated. Who do you lend to first? So the Kliyoker says, don't make a mistake from the pasuk that it's only people that are poor. Oh, ava may osher motalika. But from a wealthy guy, you would be allowed to take ribbis. That's the other place where the Torah discusses ribbis. Again, the Torah keeps talking about a poor guy. So you have this idea in your head that ribbis is don't rip off the poor. Says the Kliyoker, Lekach Kosva Torah b'Mishnah Torah. That's when we got to Pashas Kiseitze, which was the first Maramakam on the page. There's no mention of anyone's financial situation. It doesn't say wealthy, poor. It just says Jew, non-Jew. Zok the Kliyoker, Lenachu Sashach, Lekach Sashach, Kol Shu Achich, any Jew, Loi Sashach Loi, Vaf Mishal Loi V'Marviach Bazeh. What happens in the case where the Loi is going to be gaining? By you lending me ribbis, you did me the greatest favor in the world. Now I had cash, I can make a purchase, and now I made a lot of money. Why Zok the Kliyoker, Vizil Bosa Taimah? Unbelievable Kliyoker. The Kliyoker says, you know why you're not letting the ribbis? Because it takes away the malvas bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you figure? Every business transaction, you have to trust on Hashem. You never know if you're going to make money or not. Every investment needs a little amun bitochen. You don't know if it's going to work out. But this is, you can't lose. The money's guaranteed. Guaranteed, you're going to get back interest. Therefore, v'soy mechal arvoinoi, shebiyadei, u'min Hashem yaser liboy. Zot Kliyoka, you know what happens when you learn ribbis? You take Hashem out of the equation. So frech the Kliyoka. So why is the loiv in trouble? The loiv is just helping the malva do his aveiru. Yeah, something like that. He says most people who learn the interest, they're lacking a little bit of amuna. He says therefore,
you don't know if you get paid back.
What?
Enough loans that were made.
Exactly.
So now I'm saying there's still a risk.
Even the Karen is a risk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
People default on loans all day long, right?
The guy who's struggling.
That's right. Yeah, that's what the. I guess back then, the times of the Kliyoka in the late 1500s, early 1600s, people didn't default on loans.
They had Dennis prisons.
Right, that's true. They did. It was a different society then. That's correct. Now, affect the Kliyoka, so 1 second. So why you lend ribbons to a guy? According to Hishtik Kotaira, that the whole halva is your emun of Hashem. So why is it mutter to a guy? Listen to what he says. It's unbelievable. Says the Kliyoka, you can't trust a guy. When you do business with a guy, you know in the back of your head there's a chance I'm never going to see the money back. Even if you have control over him. I don't know if you want to show this to your counterpart Gaisha workers.
I mean, life has changed in the last 500 years.
I'd like to believe it's not that case. But yeah. And they come up with all these excuses. Even if you have the guarantee, you're still never 100% guaranteed. Val King, Tamin Ain of the Suis Al Hashem, he's still coming to Hashem. That's Silum Yodi, Vizet Tamis, Aribis Bechomakim. Unbelievable Chiddush from the Kliyoker. Kliyoker is Darius time of the Kra. Kliyoker time is a Pshan, this Ribis, it takes away from your Amuna. So why a guy? Because the guy doesn't, you still never trust a guy. You never know, you'll get your money back. Okay. Whether or not this is Emes, I don't know, it's a very nice, a nice idea from the Kliyoker. But back to our issue at hand, if you were just learning Gemara and Bamitzia, you'd be left with a big problem. You'd be left with the fact you can't do ribbis not with the Jew and not with the guy. Not with the Jew midirais and not with the guy midirabonim. So you're still stuck. So Taisus in Bamitzia writes the following line. Zog Taisus. I'm going to start in the middle of the line, number 5. Zog Taisus.
Somebody makes a loan with a mashkon, that also takes God out of the picture. Because I'm giving you $100,000, but I know I have your hand.
That's right, that's what you're saying.
That's, yeah. Right,
that's what you're saying. By a guy, even with the arvoin, you don't feel comfortable.
By a Jew,
you think.
I don't know if you allow an interest-free loan, but I have your house.
You have a mashkan. Yeah, that's okay. That should be okay.
Does it not apply to a Jew and a guy?
No, yes.
I can do that to a Jew?
Yes, yes.
A guy, there's no limitation?
I don't remember. That's the parak before this parak in Bamitzia. That's the fourth parak in Bamitzia. Overcharging, right.
Interesting, I can overcharge a fellow Jew or whatever, charge to the 1/6.
Within a certain amount, right.
For business reasons.
That's right.
But here I can't.
That's right. They talk about it, that the ribbis is a very unique prohibition.
And even especially saying thank you for
the loan. Oh, yeah, we're going to get to that next week. That's next week's discussion. Right. Yeah, it's a very different, it's a complex sugya. You know, after you finish doing it, you're just going to keep the money in your pocket. That's the end of it. We're going to learn to you hopefully later tonight that what happens if you have two choices. I can lend to a Jew, I can lend to a guy. Very tempting. I lend to the Jew, I don't make a dime on my money. I lend to a guy, I make an interest. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see how that plays out. Allah HaLamayis, very complicated. So there's a Taisim Bamitzia who writes the following. Even according to the first reason of the Gemara, that ribbis is asur unless it's kedei chayov, yesh lahater. I can justify ribbis in the times of the Taisus. Why? The fishiyesh aleinu mas melech v'sarim v'akol havi kedei chayov. Zog Taisus, today we don't know what we need to live. Every dollar we make, we need to live. So Zog Taisus, if the whole head is kedei chayov, we're all kedei chayov. What about the second teretz of Taisus? V'oid sh'onu shurim ben umay. Zog Taisus, where do we live today? Taisus lived amongst the Rishonim. They lived amongst Goyim. The Ef Shalonu L'Shtake B'Shem Dovim L'Nisa V'Nitin Imohem. The only way for us to make money is do business with a Goyim. So what do you tell me? Don't lend ribbons to a guy because you're going to have to interact with him. Oh yeah, and what do I do on a regular day? I interact with Goyim because that's how I make my parnasa. Hilchach therefore says Taisus Ain La'Asa Ribbis Shelma Yumam Ma'isav Yoisim Shai Masu Matan. Therefore says Taisus, there's no reason to prohibit it anymore. That prohibition that existed in the times of the Gemara, that was culturally based because at that time the culture was you only did Jews business with Jews. So why go out of the fold? But today we're out of the fold anyways. We have to work with non-Jews because that's the way it was already structured at the times of the Rishonim. Now this will present a very interesting question. What about today? In parts of Eretz Yisrael, not all of Eretz Yisrael, parts of our community, people really only do business with each other. They don't really go out to the outside world. Again, today we have a different setup because today you could do business with another person and you won't learn anything from him because you'll never see him. Right? You're not going to talk to him. You'll do all the emails. You don't even know what he does. Well, let's, for example, you go to the bank. You take out a loan from the bank. You're not building a relationship with the bank or the bank teller or the owners of the bank. It's a different story today. So does that impact halacha? We will hopefully see a little later. So halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? So if you look in the Torah, it's a mitovkuf, it's a mikuf in the test in Yoredei. It's up to the Torah. Dvar toira mutu lahalvois l'gebi ribis. Midaraisa, you are allowed to lend money to a guy with ribis. The time of the ribis, dechsev v'cheyachichimach. The Torah goes off the Gemara. He goes a whole different shot. He says, why am I allowed to lend ribis to a guy? So I would have said, because it says in the Torah, lanochri sashach. That's not what the Torah says. And the Bach has a long commentary to explain why the Torah didn't go that way. But the Torah is his own pshat. Why, says the Torah? Because it says in the Torah, v'chei achich imach. Why are you not allowed to take ribbis? Because you have to let your brother live. The guy imitzuv nach yosef. I don't have to worry about the guy's life. Let the ribbis eat away at his life. I don't care. Jews, I can't. But Goyim, I don't care. This is really connected to the Torah. The Torah didn't say that. The Torah said, l'nachri sashach. But that's the Torah's pshat. V'chachomim asru mishum b'ribbis deraiso. Avul ribbis derabon and shavis. The first thing you have to know is, even in the times of the Gemara, it would have been mutter to lend ribbis derabbanan to a guy. So, if you wanted to do something that's not ribbis derais, it would have been mutter. How does the Rishonim know this? So the Vilna Gaon says, because we call this gzeira l'gzeira. Since the whole thing is a gzeira loy chashin. The Vilna Gaon has a different comment, but that's what the Rishonim say. Today, nogu hetel chol bekol mine ribbis. Today, all forms of interest works with a guy. Why? We can't make a profit today if we just work with the Jews. Unless we do business with them. There's no more of this chashash. So therefore the chashash falls away. It's mutter. Now I'm waiting for someone to ask me, are you allowed to do that? Don't we have this long list of rules, gzeiros derabanan, stay in place? And even if the reasons don't apply, they still stay in place, like mayim megola, and maybe like chol of stam, and things like that. Also now, we're just so quick, oh, reason go, everything flies out. But it wasn't. But that's the question, if that's what the Rishonim mean, it's ain't sibi yachalambo, they just mean that the tama gzeiros no longer applies. The structure of our community has changed. In the times of the Gemara, we were all working with ourselves.
Right, so, it's the flip side really, the other way.
Exactly, right. So that's the Achrayim to point this out. Lamaisa, this is not one of those cases, and therefore it becomes mut. It's before Shin Shulchan Aruch like that. Zok to Mechaber, Dvar Toiro Mut Lahalvois Lagoy Beribis. Midarai, so you'll add a land a goy beribis. Vachamas, Ru, and the Pacham prohibited it. Im Loikide Chayov. Oy, the Tamut Chacham. Oy, beribis, Rabbanon. Vaina mutter. Today it's mutter, Zok to Hago, Bechol Indian. All types of ribis, no problem, no issues, everything is mutter. Okay?
There's so, a difference though. I mean, if you're just doing a trade with a guy, then you're on equal terms. You have what he wants, he gives you what
correct.
You need. But when it's your lending, he becomes indebted.
Very good.
That changes the relationship.
So we're going to see that in times of the Gemara, when there was actually a prohibition to work with a to do interest with a guy, which way was it also? Was it also to lend or was it also to borrow? So we're going to see in the Rambam there was a big difference, as you pointed out. There's a different relationship between the Malva and the Loiva and the Loiva and the Malva. When you're the Loiva, you don't want to go anywhere near your Malva. You want to stay very far away from him. What was the chashash? You're going to pick up bad habits. Why would I pick up bad habits from a guy I don't want to go anywhere near? Because I know his name is Tony with a big bat, and he's going to make sure I pay him up. So the Loiva stays very far. But not in the reverse. When the Jew is the Malva, that's when you have problems. Because then the guy has no reason not to hang out with me. If I can, maybe he wants to hang out with me, he wants to build a rapport with me, he thinks maybe he'll be able to knock off the loan. So that's when Chazal came down. But the reversal was never a problem. So again, just in history, never. Often we were the Malva, not the Loiva. But in Halach L'maisa, that's the way it works out. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Malva Perikhez. Look, the Rambam. Ha'akum v'ger toishav lovin mehen goyim. You may lend from them umalva noisei, and you may borrow and lend beribis. Shenem, because it says in the Torah leisashich lachicha asar ulishara oylamuter. So the Rambam, listen to this line. Umitzvas asei lahashich la'akum. It's a positive mitzvah. You want to be yaitz all the mitzvahs of Torah, you got to go out, find a guy, lend him money, and charge him interest. Shenema, it says in the Torah, la nachri sashach. It says in the Torah, to a guy you should lend. Zog the Rambam, pi ha-shmu lomnu. That's always when the Rambam says, pi ha-shmu lomnu, we never know where he gets it from. But somewhere he got it from. Shezu mitzvah saseh. It's one of the Torah commandments. Vizeu din Torah. Mitzvah deraisa, maybe even one of the Tayag mitzvahs. I don't know if he counts it. But definitely he calls it a mitzvah deraisa to find a guy, lend him money, and lend him beribis. Then the Rambam concludes, Asru chachomim shiyeh Yisrael malveh sa'akum beribis. Chazal prohibited a Jew to be malveh sa'akum. You see, the Rambam says clearly, you're not allowed to lend ribis. He doesn't say you're not allowed to borrow. Ribis ketsutza, that's what we call ribis derais. Ela b'chtei chayav. Only if it's because you need it to live. Gzeira shemi yomru, shemi yulma mimasav. We're afraid you may learn from him. B'roiv yeshivas imay, spending a lot of time with him. The Achrayna point out the Ram does not go like Taisus in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. The Ram doesn't say, well, today it's mutter. The Ram keeps it the way it is. So according to the Rambam, if you're a real Rambam, Nick, Again, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't go like that, but according to the Rambam, you may not do ribbis with a goy unless you have kedei chayav. The Rambam leaves it the way it was in the times of the Gemara. Shulchan Aruch does not, but the Rambam leaves it the way it was. Frek the Ravid, what's the Rambam talking about? Where does it say that there's a positive mitzvah to lend money to a goy? So the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He doesn't think there's any positive mitzvah to lend to a goy. Oh, but if you, the Gemara learned that was really just used to be a lava ba mechlal asay to mean that if you then lend to a Jew, you're over two things. You're violating loy sashich and the asay of goy versus Jew. That's how the Gemara read it. That's the way the Sefri reads it. So the Maritzchias in the back of the Gemara Bamitzia has a gevaldik akasha. The Maritzchias asks that the Rambam says not only are you allowed to lend the goy ribbis, you have a mitzvah to lend the goy ribbis. Frag the Maritzchias is a very famous taz in Yeridei. The Taz says that Chazal have no power to ask for something which the Torah explicitly permitted. If you have something in the Torah that the Torah said is mutter, you can't walk in one day and say, you know what, we're going to ask for it. You can make gedarim and siyagim, but if something is mefurish in the Torah, it's mutter, Chazal can't come and prohibit it. That's the Taz's rule.
Okay, came back to Sunday morning show. How about Lulav Yom Rishon? How about...
Yeah. That's the kasha. That's what they talk about. They talk about all these types of things. So Frek the Maritzchi is our Gemara. The Torah clearly says Lanach Risashach. You're allowed to lend the goy ribbis. How can Chazal come and prohibit that? That's going exactly against the Torah. Frek the Maritzchi is number 10. The Shita said Rambam Afilu Metzayish Lekachas Ribbis at Slayim Ke Kosho. The Shita said Taz Yerodeis and Kufi Zayin. The Dovah Mefurish B'Torah Lahatir. If the Torah explicitly permits something, Ein Koyach Biad Chazal Lahachmi, Chazal then can't prohibit it. Im Keim Mikoshkin Hocha. It's schwer over here. Afilu Mitzayish Ein Koyach Biad Chazal Oiz. They can't uproot a mitzvah. How do they do it? So he quotes the Tshuvas Chavis Yar, who's bothered with his kasha. So Dr. Maritzchias, I don't know how about the kasha is. Why? Because they didn't completely ban, ribbis with a guy. They limited ribbis to a guy. Chazal can't ban something which the Torah permitted. They didn't ban it. They limited it. That they could do. If Chazal would have walked in and said, no ribbis with a guy under any circumstance, that would be a kasha. But they didn't do that, Dr. Maritzchias. They limited it. You could still do ribbis. If you're a Talmud Chacham, you could do ribbis. If you're a Kedei Chayav, you could do ribbis. So since all they did was limit it, it's not a violation. Zakhtar Chsam Seifer, the kasha never gets off the ground because you misunderstood the Rambam. Zakhtar Chsam Seifer, the Rambam doesn't mean you have to go out of your way and find a guy and lend him ribbis. That's not what the Rambam means. The Rambam means if you come across a guy and he comes to you and says, I need to borrow money, and you say to yourself, okay, great, I want to lend you money, but I also want to charge you interest. That's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. But it doesn't mean you have to go out of your way, find the guy, and charge him interest. Zakhtar Chsam Seifer, so nearly Yashav Kusha the Chavis Yor. The Torah never explicitly wrote, go out of your way and lend ribbis to a guy. If you happen to be lending him money, then you should take ribbis. Don't just do it for free. To help him come out of Israel. But let's, for example, you're not in the lending business. You're a moyel. You're a sheikhet. You don't lend money to people. Then, of course, you don't have to go out and lend money to a guy. Then the Torah said, even though you're not in the business, you're still not allowed to lend to a guy. Midrabon. Ve'echanami. Misha mavulai de'ezah siba shi'yeh. Adayim b'choy v'likach men ribis. Alpi din Torah. V'svoz l'mati midivri eshlo. Okay. So if you look at some side, it's not a kash. Agav, both the Ramban and Rashi on Chumash, both don't learn the pasuk like the Rambam. They learn the pasuk of Lanoch Visashech. Doesn't mean you have to lend ribbis to a guy. It just means if you lend ribbis to a Yisrael, you're either a lav and an asay. But the Sefer Achinuch doesn't learn that way. If you look in the Sefer Achinuch number 12, in Mitzvah Tov Kufayin Gimel, he writes, Mitzvah as halvo Lanoch Yibiribis. There's a mitzvah to lend money to a guy Biribis in Mitzvah Lilvois, if he needs to lend. Mashen can be Israel, which means he's like the Chsam Sofer's version of the Rambam. You don't have to go out of your way and find the good, but if you're lending anyways, then you should be dafka lend without ribbis. Zok to say for Chinuch, why? For Neheges b'chomokim b'chol zman. This myth with ribbis. B'schar murikavis, men and women, right? Women shouldn't be any nicer than men. V'oiver alzev v'hilvu b'loi ribbis. If let's, for example, you violated that. You lent the guy ribbis, you lent the guy money without ribbis. Just because you felt bad for the guy. Not because you anticipated a greater return from something else. Or you had, again, another reason. If you just lend the guy money because you push it for bad for the guy. The guy works in your office, he's a young guy trying to get started off, life hasn't gone his way, so you lend him money. You give him a friendly loan. And you don't charge him, you're mevatel mitzvah saseh. A big chiddush. According to the Sefer Chinuch and the Rambam, that'd be a bit of mitzvah saseh.
When it comes to money matters, don't you have that koach to go ahead and be, to wait and In other words,
no, not ribbis. Ribbis is the only thing you can't be meichel. You can't
so
be meichel.
Here to be
right, you can be meichel not to collect it. You still be you'd still be over the yisr. You'd still be over the yisr. I mean, if I lend a Jew ribbis and then he has my money in his hand, I could technically demand it back. I could also be meichel, but the yisr is already over. I was over the yisr. So this is a big chiddush. People realize, you know, again, there might be darkei shalom. You have to know every case. But if you have a guy in your office and you push it for bad for the guy, so you give him a free loan, according to these regime, your mom is violating a mitzvah, I say, a bitul mitzvah, I say, okay, you don't have to charge him a crazy amount. Give him a small ribbis, you know, you don't have to make it crazy. But you should do something to fulfill the mitzvah, I say. Frechted Taz at number 15, a kasha that I'm sure is bothering many of us, is I don't get it. If the mitzvah has changed, so we should go back to the way things were in times of the Gemara, we shouldn't be allowed to do business with Gaim anymore. What did you see from the Gemara? You saw from the Gemara that Chazal were very nervous to allow a nice Jewish boy to work with Gaim, because we're going to pick up bad habits. So frechted Taz, if Taisvis is right, that the mitzvah has changed, and now we work with Gaim, so forget ribbis, we should answer all commerce with non-Jews. If that clearly was in the mind of Chazal, you see from the Gemara in Bar Mitzia that what Chazal were concerned with was dealing with Goyim. It just was in the times of the Gemara we never dealt with Goyim because we always worked internally. So when you came across something like ribbis, Chazal slammed the door. So I don't get it, Frechted Taz. So now that the Mitzia has changed, why don't that original Chazal come back and say, hey, you know, you're not allowed to do business with, only work with the Jews. You might lose your mind, but only work with the Jews. Frechted Taz, number 15. The Ein Lahakshu, don't ask me, Lomo Le'gozu Gavim Mechachim Etamur, Akol Masu Matrin Shlo Yem Evik Chavim. Why did the Chazal at times make a ban? You can't work with non-Jews. That's it. Not ribbis, not industry, everything's out. So he says, don't tell me because that was a milsa l'shrichi. Jews never worked with Goyim. He says, it's not true. Because the Mishnah says on Avodah Zarah 3 days before the holiday, you know, so clearly we did some form of commerce with them. So Enfer the Taz, a Gavaldic answer. He says, it used to be Jews did commerce with two groups, with Jews and non-Jews. So 50% of your time you're spending with good Torah-dicker people, and 50% of your time you're dealing with the lowlifes. So Dr. Taz, we're not so afraid that you're going to be swept up and learn bad habits. Because yes, you'll spend Monday and Tuesday, you know, with the guy, but you'll spend Wednesday, Thursday with the Jews, so it kind of all balances out your hashkafas hachayim. But when it came to ribbis, that was the only field you're going to be spending all day with a guy. Therefore, says the Taz, now that today, anyways, you're spending half your day with this, half your day with that, Dr. Taz is no longer a prop. The Avnei Nezer, number 14b, is medayik from the Mechaber, that the Mechaber does not hold like the Rambam. The Mechaber does not hold there's a mitzvah to lend a guy ribbis. Because what does the Mechaber say, Dr. Avnei Nezer? Dvar Torah mutter l'havis. It just says it's mutter. It doesn't say it's a mitzvah. So the Mechaber, the Avnei Nezer is medayik from the Mechaber. The Mechaber held like Rashi in the Ramban. That there's no mitzvah to lend a ribbis to a guy. You don't have to. You're allowed to, but there's no mitzvah.
Well, it makes sense because he's still dealing with the guy. If we wanted to protect the Jew from not working with the guy, he wouldn't make it a chiyuv to go ahead and deal with
No, we're talking about midrash, before Chazal came into it.
Oh, okay.
Remember before. Now, there's a Gilyan Mashah on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, which is important, and many of the later commentaries who wrote Tzvam and Ribbis bring it lahalacha. It says like this. We just learned that midaraisa you're allowed to lend Ribbis with a guy, but midarabani you're not supposed to, but today you're allowed to. We also saw that according to Ram and the Chinuch, if you lend a guy without Ribbis, you're violating a mitzvah saseh. Zog the Gilyan Mashah, maybe not. But if the guy did something nice for you, and it really requires you to repay the favor, then you should not lend him ribbis. This is a big idea. That a free loan, interest-free loan, is better than a gift. People don't like handouts. They feel like but people are okay with loans, but an interest-free loan. So Zog the Gilyan Mashah, similar to the Sefer HaChinuch. If there's a reason that motivates you not to lend without ribbis, you should. Meaning, although the Torah says you're supposed to lend a non-Jew ribbis, Zog the Gilyan Mashah, that's your average. You're an average guy. But if this guy did a big taiva for you, you know, he's a friend of yours, and there's a tit for tat, so to say, then it's taka correct not to lend them ribbis. Because that's the greatest favor, Dr. Gilyan Mashah. You could do to someone is lend them without ribbis. Okay, not free things, but interest free is much better. This was all until the Chachma Saddam came along. The Chachma Saddam was the great It's funny, people call him the Dain of Vilna. He was never really, till later on in his life, I don't think he ever really held a rabbinic position, but maybe, I think I'm confusing him with the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. But the Chai Adam lived in Vilna, and he wrote a sefer that everyone used for many, many years. He writes in the sefer Chochmas Adam the following thing. He says, Avada its mutter, legamri, shebelav ochi b'kol mechiyaseinu parnaseinu mehem, ulechem mutter legamri, zog the Chai Adam, I'm not disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch, I know you're allowed to lend and borrow from a guy b'ribis, avoroi l'chol ish yosher holach, but it's befitting for any upscale member of society, im be'ef shaloi she'im nes atzamei, gam b'halvos nachri, zog the Chachmas Adam, which again was, as Rav Shechter always calls it, the Bible for Litvisha Jews, if you could be a upscale member in a yeshir, don't lend and borrow ribbis even with a guy. So everyone's is matmiya. Where did Chayadim come from? No one says this. Where did he pull this out of a hat? People are all up in arms. So I speculate. I wonder. Maybe I don't know. Maybe when the Chayadim lived in Vilna, maybe the society was different. Maybe the Jews were doing much more business with each other, and there was much less exposure to goyim, and therefore the Chayadim felt maybe we go back to the times of the Gemara. Maybe at least l'chumra. Maybe at least l'chumra. We should go back to the way things used to be, and therefore it's not really right. There's no justification. Perhaps, again, you'd have to know the metzias of the 1700s in Vilna, how things were structured. But that's a suggestion that perhaps one can make. Says with Nissen Karelitz, don't come to me and tell me if you live in Eretz Yisrael that you're not allowed to lend ribbis to a goy. Why? Because you're living in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe not. Let's say you live in one of these really, really enclosed communities, which you have in America today, where chassidim or other Jews, mamish, only work with each other. I don't do too much. I myself don't do too much business with goyim. I don't do any business with goyim. I work in yeshiva. I work in shuls. I only work with Jews. So maybe I shouldn't lend with ribbis, because if I'm going to start lending with ribbis, I'm now going to be exposed to goyim, which I never would be exposed to. Now you could argue that bizmanas that were automatically exposed to goyim, right? You go down the street, you go into the store. You we're no longer in that community. You know, automatically, right? You can't say, well, I'm not going to take the mail from the mailman because he's goyish. So I don't want to talk to him, right? It's a different society. But zok the chutzon and nissen karelitz. I think he needs refuah shleima, which should be a chus for him. Zok the nissen karelitz number 18 v'nira. The gambis manenu beretz Yisrael. The after roiv masu matan im Yehudim. The most of the business with Jews. We call Malcolm Zok from Nisikar. Kivin shem afalim the chevers misaskus gamim goyim. The companies and the businesses there is goyim. Lenishtan hadin mayidna the motem cholin. He doesn't think the mitzvah has changed. Calls man shel yatzonu min hagolus. Until we go out of Golus, it's still going to have this heter. Then he has a comment. Maybe you can know. Maybe non-religious Jews also. That's a big shayla. We'll leave it for there. If you look in the sefer called Zahav v'Levoina. It's one of the many contrasts that were written on ribbis. He writes in the bottom, he says, I didn't find anyone else, except for the Chachmas Adam, who has his chumrah, that you shouldn't lend the guy ribbis. Called the ribbis the Nochi Mutaris. We assume that you're allowed to lend with a guy. Even great rabbis used to do this. That the Rosh in his house used to lend ribbis to a guy.
So this,
that's exactly. That's right. That's right. He could be going back to the times of the Gemara, right? It's a good point. So this is a question. Let's say, for example, again, this is very relevant. You're a Jew, so you don't want to do any business with a non-Jew, with a Yid. So you want to lend the bar with a guy. So according to Chacham Sadim, if you consider yourself a ish yosher, maybe you should, maybe not. We'll talk more about it. So the Chelkas Binyamin is a sefer written by Reb Binyamin Cohn. He's the son of the Badi HaShulchan. He wrote a sefer just like his father, with the same type of tzura, even with the same chumras like his father in his Badi HaShulchan sefer. But it's a terrific sefer, very geshmaka sefer. So it's called Chelkas Binyamin. We're going to believe to refer to it quite often because it's a contemporary. He's lives today. So he writes, and this is not his chiddush, but he writes this. He says, even if you want to be choshish for the chayadim, so if you're going to be choshish for the chayadim, you got yourself a problem. How are you ever going to get a loan? You go to a Jew, you have ribbis. So you get heteriskas, okay. But you want to get a loan from a guy. So you go to a bank. But the bank is owned by goyim. So what? The Chai Adam says you're not supposed to do ribbis. So if you're the loiva, it's not so bad, right? Because we learned that a loiva is okay. But let's say the reversal. You want to do business the other way. So he writes, Val pizet near the de mal vil goy, the ainle maga imoy. You have no real interaction with him. Let's say you do things today, you know, my account to your account, we never talk, we never see each other, it's all automatic. So where's the chashash? What's the chashash today, Bechlal? He wants to suggest that if the Chachmas Adam saw the way commerce is done today, could be he would agree today that even there's no even a chumrah. back then there was still some form of interaction. You didn't have, you know, transfer through email like we do today. You didn't have the tap your screen, all of a sudden the money flies from one account to that. You got to put your money in one guy's hand to the next guy's hand. So Dr. Rabbi Yom and Cohen, that perhaps today it's not a problem. If you look at number 21, that the Rambam, we mentioned this earlier, mutalul voice mino akam beribis. Even in the times of the Gemara and for the Rambam as well as there, you would always be allowed to borrow. You wouldn't be allowed to lend. So that would solve our bank issue. If you want to go to the bank and borrow from the bank, that's fine. You're a borrower. Borrowers, you're always allowed to. Why? You run away from your debtors. You don't go closer to them. So therefore, it wouldn't be an issue. However, points at Rev Binyamin Cohen, as does others, you're going to have a different problem. If you decide not to lend the guy beribis, besides the fact that you might be over on Bittul Aseh, you have loisi chanin problems. We spoke about this many times before Nishir. You can't just do favors for goyim. It's a violation of the Torah. You can't just be nice to goyim for the sake of being nice. So if you're just going to lend to a goy ribbis because you push it for bad for the guy, he tells you a sob story, how he grew up, a broken home, and this and that, and your heart breaks. So you say, you know what, I'm going to give you a loan interest fee. You're violating perhaps the law of the Torah of loisi chanin. You can't do favors for goyim.
Is that including
getting
stuck on the streets
to
somebody just
so that out? Might be a mutter, what we call Daki Shalom. They get
in.
So it might be. Enechan, like we saw. If it's Taka Daki Shalom, maybe. But if it's one of those, you know, GoFundMe pages, right? Whatever. So then I don't see what the heads of these GoFundMe pages are. I really don't. To give to a guy for no reason, it's not going to do anything for anyone. No one knows who you are. No one, it's not building any camaraderie with. It's not going to make the guy say, I'll therefore GoFundMe. They don't know anything. So that would be a problem of Isra as well. Okay. So if that's the case, now we have a big problem on our hands. If I can lend the guy with ribbis, and I might even be obligated, what do I do when I'm presented with a dilemma? I have two people come to my office. I have a nice, firm guy who tells me I need a loan. So I say, okay, I want to loan him. But if I loan him money, I know my money's not doing anything. Then I have a guy walking and says, listen, I want to borrow money, and I will pay whatever you want to overcharge me. So now you can hear a from a cheshbon. Not only should I spend it, I have a mitzvah. I have a mitzvah to loan to the guy with ribbis. The problem is the Gemara says in number on page 3, number 24 in Bamitzia, the Gemara says not so. Omar Mar, Ami v'Nachri. It says in the pasuk you're supposed to lend to Ami, my people. So the Gemara, Ami v'Nachri, Ami koidem. If you have a Jew and a non-Jew in front of you, lend to the Jew first. For the Gemara Pshita, of course, we always care about our brethren. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Livuno, Loi Nitzucha Dafilo Nachri Rivis v'Yisrael B'Chinam. No. The Gemara is a big chiddush. I have two people standing in front of me. One guy is a Jew and I'm not going to make a dime on my money. One guy is a guy and I can make a lot of money on my money. I'm supposed to first lend to the Jew and not make any money, then lend to the guy and make money. Now the Shulchan Aruch does not bring this lahalacha, but the Rambam does. very good. That's what we're going to get to in a second. Zok the Rambam, mitzvah lahaktim halvos yisrael b'chinam lahalvos akam b'ribis. So, clear-cut lahalacha. Two people come to you, they both want money. You got to give the Jew first and not make money, and not give to the guy and make money. Zok the Mishnah Berurah, in his other very famous sefer, which we quote many times when we do in Yonei of Mominis, a sefer called Avas Chesed. This is where Mishnah Berurah wrote an entire sefer discussing loans and like Sullen. Many times we've cross-referenced this sefer. Zok the Mishnah Berurah, whoa, how does this work? This means that I'm supposed to lose my money because I'm lending to a Jew as opposed to making an unbelievable profit. I can lend this, I have $1,000 open. I can lend it to a Jew and make zero. I can lend it to a guy who's willing to pay me a ridiculous amount of interest and mamish support my family for Dairy Dairis, whatever the case may be. So Mr. Bruce Masupik, he says it's not so pashut. V'da, the bedin zeh shomar diyaktem Yisrael b'chilam b'leknani b'ribis, nechlku ha'gdeilim b'zeh, takam ha'choikis. Yeshayim, there are those who say, da'filo miyav l'knani yeh, hervech ma'arbe. Let's say if I lend the guy, I'm going to make a lot of money. Nonetheless, talk to Mr. Burrow, he says, still, you got to lose the profit and lend to the Jew. If it's what you have, you don't lose money. Now, the Mr. Brewer himself writes in the piece before, let's say this is your job. My job is I'm a loan shark. That's my parnasa. So if I'm going to use up all my money on free loans, I'm going to be broke. Mr. Bruce says, then it's mutter. Here the Mr. Bruce is talking about a case where you have money to lend, and now it's a question of making a profit or not making a profit. So he quotes a machlokes achronim. Then he quotes a second opinion. The only time you have to go to the Jew versus the guy, that's if it's a small profit. But let's say it be a large profit. I have no idea how you would measure that. So that's Mr. Bruce, but let's say you stand to make a lot of money. By not lending to the Jew and lending to the guy Beribis, you can make a lot of money. Says Mr. Berurah, then it's a machloikas achrayim, he's not taking sides. Frekta Pnei Yeshua, I don't get this whole Gemara. What happened to the idea of Chayecha Kaidman? I come first. Don't I always have to put myself first? Again, if I lend a Jew no ribbis and not lend the guy ribbis, I am taking a hit. What happened to the rule of Chayecha Kaidman? So the Pnei Yeshua writes in number 25b, he says, yeah, but not when the mitzvah is tztaka. The Pnei Yeshua writes that the whole mitzvah over here is structured like the mitzvah tztaka. The whole nature of mitzvah tztaka is you give him first. What happens if it's not a tztaka type of thing? Let's say the loive is wealthier than me. It's not tztaka. The loive is not poor. He's better off than I am. He's short. He needs cash. So Dovid Pavarsky makes the argument, again, I don't think he means it halacha l'maisa, but at least in Lomdus, according to this Pnei Yeshua, it should come out if the loive, who's Jewish, doesn't need the money b'tayrus tztaka, then I should go to the guy first. Because no longer we get the tztaka. That's what Dovid Pavarsky's argument is. What I just wanted to touch upon is, this now opens up a very big discussion. If I'm allowed to lend ribbis with a guy and borrow from a guy, what happens if it's a shutfis, a guy in a yid? Let's say, for example, I know I'm allowed to borrow from a Jew. I'm allowed to lend ribbis with a Jew, and I am allowed to lend ribbis with a guy. What happens if one guy and one Jew are partners together? What happens now? Exactly right. That's it. So again, today partnerships are much more complicated because we have stocks and shares, and things are much more complicated. But there was a tshuva from Yaakov Ettlinger in his Binyan Tzion where he writes that it's not a heter. That although one could argue, why don't you say Breira, Yesh Lehem Breira? Maybe the 50, the money that I'm borrowing is really the guy. It's not the yitz. So to Rabbi Akiva, like, we don't do something like money, which you can easily split 50-50. You don't do it. So therefore, most achrayim hold that's not going to fly. But however, there's a very famous shuvah for Rav Moshe, which I put on the paper, which we don't have time to read inside. Rav Moshe was not talking about ribbis; he was talking about Shabbos. Someone asked Rav Moshe, if you're a stockholder in a company that's open on Shabbos, how do you get around this? So Rav Moshe basically says, it depends how integral your role is. Meaning, you're not a shutev because you buy stocks. Right? We all own stocks in something. We're not shutevim in these companies. So Dr. Rav Moshe, if your extent of ownership is your stockholder, and they don't exactly invite you to the meetings, they send you a paper once a month to let you know what's going on, so Dr. Rav Moshe, you're not a shutev. But lo yitzur, you play an active role, maybe even a managerial role, where you have the right to make major decisions for the company, you become a shutev. If you're a shutev, then the chayra would be a problem. So that's something that people have to keep in mind.
What would be a problem?
Then if it's Jews and goyim, so you would not be allowed to borrow ribbis in such a company.
The ribbis
issue, right, and the Shabbos so issue. It'll be a Shabbos issue as also Schar Shabbos, and maybe even a Chumas issue as well on Pesach. But there's another tshuva for Rav Moshe, which I'm not getting into. Rav Moshe discusses the status of a corporation. What is a corporation? Who is a corporation? There is no such thing. Corporation is a corporation. It's not me, it's not you, it's a corporation. So that's a very famous kool that people are not widely saying, if they don't need to say that there's no problem of Havos ribbis from a corporation, because it's not a chich, it's not a person. The corporation falls apart, the money, there's no one to demand the money from. So that's another heter for Rav Moshe. But according to this, when we talk about partnerships, not everyone agrees to this heter. It's not widely accepted. But then the next week, this is really just when you could do ribbis. Next week we'll get into the nitty gritty types of shahs that come up in Mamish daily, day-to-day life about borrowing and lending and favors, where perhaps ribbis can be an issue, and therefore we need to stay clear of potential ribbis violations.